Welcome to the Fanboy Factor Podcast. I am your friendly neighborhood J-Man. With me is our resident comic book historian, Brian Isaacs. Brian, how's it going, man?
Doing good. Like yourself, stuck at home while everyone else is over at San Diego this week.
You know what, man? It starts tomorrow, right?
Preview night. Yeah.
We're recording this on Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, preview night is Wednesday. It officially opens on Thursday. And in my Facebook feed, it's driving me nuts. All the people that we are friendly with, you know, in this side of the biz.
Yeah.
Flying out to San Diego. Like, you know what, man? This is it. Next year, I'm there.
All I know is this just, for me, this means I'm officially done with the PR stuff.
Yeah.
Because after this, it's all news, and, you know, it's just like, you know, like you said, we got people out there, so, you know, they'll be bringing the news back, and I'm not covering the event. I was just handling the pre-event, you know, exclusive schedules, all the other nonsense, but my email was just flooded on a daily basis trying to pick and choose, and I'm just like, I just came to the realization, I'm done. I have free time again.
Yeah, this is it, man.
Oh, thank God.
What time does preview night start? I mean, is it all day, or is it like 3 to whatever?
I think it's like 3, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's just a tiny bit jealous.
Yeah, I would like to go out there and just check it out.
Well, anyway, let's push our jealousy aside and talk a little Daredevil.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Within, like, the last, couple hours, some new news broke.
Yeah, exploded.
Do you want to try her name, or should I try her name?
L.O.D. Young?
Elodie Young?
Like a lot of young IGs.
When she comes on the show, we'll apologize to her.
Yeah. Yeah, she is officially Elektra.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. I don't know much about her. She played Jinx in G.I. Joe Retaliation.
Right.
I mean, I looked up her body of work, and other than that, most of her work is all French.
Yeah.
So I'm not, I can't say, you know, yeah or nay on her acting skills. I can't, but based on just, you know, her playing, you know, a ninja in G.I. Joe, I mean, she's definitely got the moves.
Yeah.
She's not bad looking. She does kind of look a little, you know, I read she was like part Asian, part European.
I was going to say, is she Korean or something?
Nah, it's Japanese, I believe. So the blend does kind of, you know.
It's exotic looking.
Yeah, so it could get away with that Greek, kind of the Greek look.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's, you know, good casting. You know, like I said, when did Retaliation come out? Like, at least.
Last year? 2013?
No, longer than that, wasn't it?
Retaliation? That's the one with The Rock in it, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
She wasn't good at English then, so, you know.
Maybe she won't have to speak too much.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'm really getting excited about this, because I think Netflix lets a couple, I don't know if it was Netflix or some leaks, there's a couple images that they're filming.
Yeah.
In New York.
Yeah, they were down in Harlem, and a professional photographer just happened to be there, getting all these choice. It's like, it almost, they were like behind-the-scenes shots, but they were like too perfect.
Yeah, they're too crisp.
Yeah, it's just
definitely not cell phone.
No.
You know, looking images.
It looks like they allowed her to walk around, the photographer to walk around the set and take pictures as she wanted.
Oh, there just happens to be a photographer here. Come walk around the set.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it looked like. It just, like, the pictures are just way too lit, just too well, and just, but it's, you know, I don't know. But, I mean, everybody's going nuts, but it's pretty much just, you know, Nelson and Murdoch walking around.
Yeah, it's just the two of them, but it's really cool to see the two of them together. You know, it's nice that they're moving forward with it. And then,
yeah, but they're moving forward with that, you know, what's going on with Luke Cage? Obviously, Jessica Jones, you know, we still haven't seen anything lately. But now the big thing is, I'm hearing they're having problems what direction to take Iron Fist in.
Really? Why is that?
It's like, for some reason, they're having an issue with the mystical aspect of Iron Fist, which I think, I don't know, to me it just seems, I've always seen Iron Fist as, especially the way Fraction wrote it, Fraction yeah. and Brubaker wrote it,
yeah.
it's very cinematic.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they're shying away from that, and it's really not, it's mysticism, it's not true magic.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why they're having a problem with this.
Well, are they, is there any step forward with the production of the show? Like, are they writing it? Is that where they're at right now?
It's like they can't get the script. They can't get the script right for some odd reason.
Huh.
Or
concept.
It's just the mystic problem is becoming real big with them, which I think is like the silliest thing.
Yeah, it is kind of silly. I mean, I understand they want to keep it, like you like to say, street level. I mean, they touched upon it, I mean, barely touched upon it with Murdoch.
Right.
Not that he's involved with mysticism, but the superpowered end of his powers. You know, they really just brushed upon it.
But they don't need to really go into heavy mysticism.
Agreed. That's why I don't understand what the problem is. Just, they can just...
And he set it up kind of like how Batman Begins, where it was just like this, you know, thing, but it's just, you know, it's... The entire thing with Iron Fist's power is he can concentrate his life force or, you know, chi
yeah.
into his hand to make it something of a, and I quote, a thing of iron.
Okay. Hence the name
Iron Fist, yeah. I don't see that as that mysticism. It's just, this is Eastern mysticism that's been around for years, you know, the idea of you know, I've seen other things about people using chi on news programs, you know, all these, you know, other martial artists.
Thor-level magic.
Right! I don't understand what the problem is. I think they're really overthinking it.
And not only that, even if it were to be magic, what is the big deal? Because I think Kevin Feige, in one of his many, many interviews, said that he either doesn't have a problem or doesn't see a problem the TV characters interacting with the movie characters.
Right.
If that is the case, there's magic. I mean, there's magic out there. We have Thor. We have Asgard out there. So even if there is some little bit of magic.
And Doctor Strange, don't forget.
Absolutely. If there is some level of magic, you know, taking place within this realm of Netflix shows, what's the big deal? Even if it's just a little bit.
I know, that's the thing. I really think they're trying to overthink it, and it's just, you know, you need just a little mysticism, but you can still make them street level.
Yeah, agreed.
You make
just brush over it.
Yeah, I mean, when he in the first series when he was introduced, he finds out later that he's a multimillionaire.
Yeah.
But he was this naive young hero who knew nothing about the way the world is. Doesn't understand things like cars and cell phones and things like that.
Right.
Because he was on this, like, isolated mystic land. You don't have to necessarily make it, the mystic land, all this big deal thing. I mean,
right.
You know, just look at some of these monks that are, like, I don't know. It's bad.
I agree with you. No, I totally agree with you.
I mean, as bad as the film is, look at you ever see Bulletproof Monk?
I have not, but I know the movie.
Yeah, it's not a bad adaptation. I don't think it's a bad film, but anyhow, it's just like, you know, there's, you know, you have these sects of you know, these monks that are in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it's look at the TV show Kung Fu.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just they're seriously overthinking this, I think.
Do you know how the character is portrayed in Spider-Man, the cartoon?
A little new agey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just was curious what their spin on the character is.
Yeah, he's very new agey and stuff.
But does he still do like the Iron Fist thing?
Yeah.
Well, then I don't see what the big deal is.
I don't either.
You're right, thinking it.
They really are.
Is there any word where Jessica Jones stands? I mean, is that still filming, or are they in production with that?
I think they're still... honestly, I don't know.
It's been really quiet, man.
It's been really quiet. You know, I'm hearing it's filming.
Yeah.
you know, with Luke Cage, is the rumor is it's it. You know, we already know who the lead is because he shows up in Jessica Jones.
Yeah, I don't see what the problem there is. Like you said, he's already going to be established in Jessica Jones. It's just it'll be a spinoff.
Yeah, it's I don't understand why they're waiting. It's just like they're waiting. It's like, let's do one, wait, you know, see how it does, do the next one, see how it does, do the next one. This is, and then all of a sudden now we're just jumping. This is supposed to be, I thought Daredevil 2 was supposed to be like phase 2, and we're supposed to get the Defenders first. Mm. So it just seems like, I don't know, it's all messed up now.
They're going to ride that popularity of Daredevil as far as they can.
It's still a business, unfortunately.
Yeah, but if that's where they're making money, I mean, everybody's talking about it. It's uber popular.
Yeah.
I mean, so much so. I mean, they're talking, what, merchandise stuff now, which finally.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, I just saw on Variety, they interviewed the stunt guy.
Yeah.
And he talked about that famous 5-minute sequence in the hallway.
Say.
It was just, he said it was a grueling shoot, but it was just like.
I was going to say it had to have been.
It just like, you know, one shot, one camera.
Wow.
In that cramped little area. It's
great
just,
scene, man. I'm telling you, that scene sold that shoot for me.
Oh, my God. It's just. that is definitely the highlight. I've also been seeing a lot of opinion pieces about the costume, all negative.
About the new costume, the red costume.
Yeah, the actual Daredevil.
The traditional looking one.
I've seen people starting to say, just like, let him wear the one that Affleck wore. A couple people have said, I'm like, wow.
Well, my hope is that either they update it, you know, for the new season, or they go back to the black costume. Go figure, that black costume was so awesome, especially since, not that this matters, but in the comics, and they're all new, all different, he's got a black costume on. I don't know.
Mm. See, I don't want to say it's a black costume because it's just, again, it's two-tone red in the original. And I've seen some colorists make that, leave the gloves and boots a brighter red, and the bodysuit is the dark red, and then some colorists will actually make it black.
Yeah.
Like, it's been that, you know, look at Wally Wood's first design for where he's fighting Namor. It almost looks, you know, there's, you know, lots of shades of blacks in there. So it may not actually be black. It may be red. I don't know. Either way, I'm cool with it. It's, you know, the red, you know, the black on red, I think is a nice look too. And I do like the way that the DDs look on the new design, very that kind of Asian inspired type of design to it.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, like I said, I'm really looking forward to season 2, but it's just like, can we finish with phase 1 first, please?
Yeah.
I mean, I get it, strike while the iron's hot, but come on. I want my Iron Fist. I really do. It's funny because it's like I remember way back when the guy who played Darth Maul, Ray.
Yeah, Ray Park.
Park. He wanted to play Iron Fist. He was being slotted to play Iron Fist. All kinds of controversy because he was, you know, first off, British.
In the movie, right?
There was going to be an Iron Fist movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, the guy has some moves, and he's not bad looking. You know, to dye his hair a little. Hell, it worked for, Evans. But I really think they're overthinking it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think so, too. It's not that big of a deal.
Nah. And, you know, honestly, if we don't get the Defenders, I think it would be, if we get it, great. If we don't, great. You know, more Devil, more Daredevil, more good. That's what I feel right now. So, that's it for Daredevil news.
Let's switch gears a little bit and talk a little bit about Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah.
So, Entertainment Weekly got some new images of the upcoming movie.
Right.
It's just still, like, 9 months away.
Yeah.
It's still forever away. But at least they're building some momentum. What did you think of the pictures? You got, one of them was of Bruce Wayne and Wonder Woman, or Gal Gadot.
That's, for some reason, that shot just looks very weird to me.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. It's just the angle of the shot. It's just, for some reason I look at it and I think of The Great Gatsby for some reason.
Oh, it does have, it's her, you're right. It does have a Gatsby sort of feel to it. I think it's her dress.
Yeah.
Affleck standing behind her. What did you think of Lex?
Bad wig, bad. It's like, what's what? I still want.
I don't know, man. I just.
I still want the corporate raider. I want the guy in the suit. That's what I want. What John Byrne did with the suit. That's what I want. And this is not it. It looks like, again, a throwback to Gene Hackman's.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who said something. One of the boards were on said something about him going crazy and just shaving his head. That would be I don't know how you would define crazy, but I could see him doing something like that. But this picture of him, he's standing in front of a table, in front of a picture. I just
not feeling it.
Yeah, he looks more like a kid with an attitude, you know, like a skater kid with an attitude.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And then there was the cover of the three of them. What did you think of that?
It was a nice cover. I have some issues.
Okay, what's your issues? Let's hear it.
All right, first off, I don't understand why these films just can't. With Batman, in the metal suit, he's got the whites. Why can't they just do the whites all the time?
I don't know, man. I thought that was just me. I hate that you could see his eyes.
Yeah.
That drives me, not that it drives me nuts. To me, Batman is, I know he's Bruce Wayne,
mm-hmm.
but when he's in that costume, he's fucking Batman. And he's not human. He's not supposed to be human.
No.
And when he's got the eyepieces in, that to me is Batman. I agree with you. I don't like that you can see his eyes. It makes him look like a guy and it is. It's a guy in a costume.
Yeah.
But when he's got the lenses in, he's not a guy in a costume.
And they're functional in the comic. They actually serve a purpose. It's, you know, night vision, heads up display. I don't understand what they can't.
You know, what's funny you said that, because I knew that there was something not quite right about the picture. And there is one more picture, or there's a few more, but there's that picture, that standoff picture between the two of them, the face-off picture.
Yeah.
And he does have, like you said, the lenses in his eyes, in his mask.
But he's wearing the suit.
He's got the metal suit on.
And
that is, it's a good picture.
But here's the other thing that bothers me. We've already seen pictures of what these costumes look like. They digitally darkened the colors in all these outfits.
Okay. What do you mean? In this cover? Or?
In this cover, and I think I wouldn't be surprised, knowing the way Snyder directs, he did this. What is his obsession with muted colors?
I don't know.
I don't like it. I don't like it because at the licensing expo, we saw the suits on display, taken by everyday people. Lit correctly, nicely. You know, Superman's suit is not this dark. It's this bright blue with a bright red.
Yeah.
And here we are looking at it, and it's like all dark again. But Cavill isn't. So somebody photoshopped the colors in these costumes.
Well, you're right. This whole image is photoshopped, because I was going to say the picture of Batman is terrible. It's an awful angle for him to be looking. At us.
His nose looks big.
I agree with you about the muted colors, although I don't really have a problem with her costume so much. I kind of like it. But I definitely agree with you on Superman's costume. It's red, white, and blue, or red, yellow, and blue. He's the light. It doesn't need to be dark. Batman's dark, fine. And I don't really have a problem with her costume. I think it looks good. I don't like that headband she's wearing.
No.
But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. It's funny, looking at this picture you were just talking about of them eye to eye.
Yes.
For some reason I don't know if I saw this in a cartoon or something. It just, like, I could just a short fight, you just see Superman just use deep ray vision on his face.
He looks, I know, really.
Just boom! And that explodes, end of battle.
End of the story. He looks, I mean, you can tell Bruce is pissed. You can just see the look. It's funny the emotion you can take out of a picture. Yeah. You only see the guy's mouth, and you know he's angry. And then just the way that Clark Henry's looking at him, he's like, you're in a tin can, man, and I'm just going to pull you up like a can of SpaghettiOs.
I'm thinking the same thing. He's just like, really?
But they are talking about him having kryptonite. Yeah, it even says here he's going to have kryptonite. And I saw again about Doomsday being in a movie. I mean, Jesus Christ.
And yet we still haven't found that. You remember that picture?
What is the story about? That's all I want to know.
Pretty much from what I heard, it's just like Batman got pissed off because he had some friends who got killed in the wreckage of the Kryptonian battle.
Oh, is that what he's saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's
his motivation?
That's his motivation.
I don't know. You know what I do also like about this face-off picture?
What?
I like that you can see his mask underneath the armor. For some reason, I think that's it's at least somebody put some thought into him storing his mask.
Right.
I don't know. I think that of all the pictures, that's the best one.
It's funny because I started realizing this. I'm not too sure if you remember, like, many, many months ago.
Yeah.
We had that picture of Clark walking out with this guy, Snoo McNeely, with his legs green screen.
Oh, yes!
They still have announced who the fuck he is!
Yeah.
I'm
bet you remember that. I bet you they don't want you to remember that.
Well, he's on another show right now. He's on the show called Halt and Catch Fire that I watch.
Okay.
Which is about the big computer revolution in the 80s.
Yeah.
So he's on that. That's why I just remembered. I'm like, and all of a sudden I'm like, okay, maybe he's not. You know, people are like theorizing, you know, Jimmy Olsen or
Jimmy Olsen, right?
There was a theory of the Flash, and now I'm thinking, I'm not too sure if you remember the Superman cartoon or the comics. It's there was the Professor Hamilton.
Yes. Oh, he had the arm.
He had the cyber, but maybe this time around it's legs.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. I'm with you on that one. It's funny because I forgot all about that.
Like I said, if I wasn't watching the show Halt and Catch Fire, I probably would have forgot about it myself. But it's just like, I started watching, you know, it just recently started. I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm like, what the fuck is this character doing?
Hey, you know, going back to Superman and his costume for a second, the other thing I don't like about his costume, I hate the textured look.
Oh, God.
I don't like the textured look on the S. I don't like the textured look of the costume itself. I don't know.
Well, what I'm talking about with the colors is...
I know what you're saying about the colors, but I'm going through and I'm looking at the rest of these pictures, and I just don't like that textured look.
Here we go, you know, with the colors. Also this week, because of San Diego, there's going to be one exclusive and one preview.
Yeah.
Exclusive two-pack of Batman and Superman.
Yes.
In 6-inch scale from Mattel. Yeah. Look at that picture. It's those colors aren't muted. That's the way they're supposed to look.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Those colors are not muted in that action figure.
No,
but it does look a hell of a lot better.
Yeah, it really does, and especially I'm curious about that because it looks like it's a talking package, but.
Yeah, that's you don't take those figures out of that package.
No. And then, especially look at the Barbie Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Look how bright that is. That's Wonder Woman!
Yeah. Listen, I agree with you.
Unfortunately, I'm willing to put, it's like, people are just like, oh, you think, how come we aren't getting a Wonder Woman with this? And I'm like, why haven't we gotten any female superheroes within the entire DC line or Marvel line? Yeah, I'm just like... we may get a 6-inch, but I think this is it for Wonder Woman for this movie.
You know, now that you mentioned it, and I'm looking at this Wonder Woman Barbie figure doll, the costume does look better like that.
Yes!
It does. It looks, because it's got the gold in it,
mm-hmm.
it looks more traditional like her. It's got the Greek mythology look, but it still has that traditional Wonder Woman feel.
But you see what I mean? If you look at that, that's an untouched, that's, you know, a properly lit picture. And then you look at the CW, you know, the EW one.
Yeah. You know, you definitely can see it's muted.
Yeah. Somebody photoshopped that.
Yeah.
Because that Barbie, if you go back to the pictures from the licensing show, that's the same color scheme.
I don't know. That's your boy. He's in one of these pictures. Did you see that somebody was speculating about the shirt he was wearing in this one picture?
No.
Somebody, talk about reading into shit. There's a picture of Zach and Ben Affleck in front of the crash bus, and he's wearing this shirt, and somebody went in this little dissertation about the shirt and what it could possibly mean to the movie. Or maybe it's a shirt. Just saying. Maybe it's a shirt that Zach likes.
I mean, it's got this, like, German-looking bat with an S in the middle.
Yeah.
For all we know, it could be a brand of liquor. I think people are
it
just...
It could be Superman vs. Batman.
Who knows?
Anyway.
God.
That stuff. So we're expecting some... Wait, did I see... Oh, it was Star Wars. I was going to say... You shouldn't expect any kind of tease or any kind of trailer from Batman vs. Superman.
No,
but it was for Star Wars, not for that.
But they are, they are having a panel in Hall H.
Yeah.
Whatever the hell that means.
Everybody's got a panel in Hall H.
Everybody's got a panel in Hall H.
Yeah, mine's going to be later on Thursday.
See, I'm different. I'm in Hall Z.
Oh, are you? Okay. we'll catch up later on.
Yeah. God. I'm sorry. I just don't have a good feeling about this film. It's Snyder just ruins everything for me.
I want to be hopeful about it, man. I really do. I just, when I saw the cover, I like that it's lit. I like you can see it, but now you've ruined it for me because you're right.
Sorry.
The costumes are muted a bit, and it does have that. He likes that look. That dark look, that filtered dark look for some reason.
He didn't do it with Dawn of the Dead, but every film after that was just like, he's going filter happy.
Yeah.
He really is, and
that's the signature.
But I just got a bad feeling that the entire universe is going to, and they're going to assume, Warner's saying it's supposed to be dark, and I'm like, oh my God.
You know it, this is going to be focus around all that stuff.
Why us?
I don't know. But did you see, we talked about Chris Pine and the rumors surrounding him last week.
Yeah.
Did you see that there's a rumor now that he was given the option of Steve Trevor or Hal Jordan?
Oh, get out of here.
Yeah, that's, it's rumor. But I guess WB came to him and said, you want to play Steve Trevor or you want to play Hal Jordan? And supposedly, there's going to be an announcement soon. Just rumor on the internet. You know how that works.
Possibly this week.
It would make sense.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. What other San Diego stuff have I seen?
Well, we know they're gearing up for Deadpool big time.
Yeah. You know what? I'm really excited about this movie, man.
Well, I'm not too sure. I just read this like a couple minutes before I get on. Reynolds has said this is it. No more superhero films for him.
Yeah. No, did he say no more superhero films or
no more comic films, period? Like,
after this movie, he's done.
He's done. He feels like it's starting to get old.
So he's going to do this movie. It's going to be uber popular, and he's not going to do anymore.
Yeah, right.
Wow. I could see him not wanting to play any more superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, come on! If this movie's gonna
money talks,
yeah,
money talks.
Is he in his late 30s?
I think so.
He's got a couple more movies in him. A couple more Deadpool movies in him if this is as good as I think it's gonna be.
And we've been told it's gonna be a hard R, whatever that means.
What the hell does that mean?
All right, have you seen Kingsman yet?
I have not, but I heard good things about it.
All right, well, Kick-Ass, I think, was also R, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's that cartoonish violence, real, not like horror film, Saw, like not, you know, porn, horror porn. It's going to be cartoonish violence and stuff, and obviously the language.
I figured it was getting it more for the language.
I don't think it needs it, but...
I don't know. I just can't see it being a gore thing.
But, you know, that's... The problem is...
I know what, like, in the Max line, the Marvel Max line, that thing is awful. That Deadpool series is brutal.
Yeah.
But it doesn't... It's... I don't know. I just can't see this version... I could be totally wrong. Just see this version being... You know, like you've been saying, gore, fantastic.
But part of the problem is now they just pretty much killed any possibility for licensing.
Why is that?
Well, we're not going to get really a 6-inch line of action figures.
Right.
I mean, you know, who knows? You know, Deadpool's is a big pull right now.
Yeah.
What
do you think about a Diamond Select figure?
I think we'll get a Diamond... I think... Well, depending on what... Yeah, I think we'll get a Diamond Select figure.
Yeah.
Or I could even see, you know, something from NECA. Or, you know, one of the other people doing it.
Not Hasbro.
No. Not for a rated R film.
Yeah. Hey, do you think that Hasbro would put out with Marvel/Disney's blessing a comic book-inspired Deadpool line?
Nothing to tie it to, though. They wouldn't see the problem if they do that. Then they're saying they're promoting toys of they're promoting violent. They're trying to get kids to go see a violent film.
Yeah.
So you can't win in this situation. Honestly, it's from a marketing standpoint, this was not the smartest move. I mean, licensing, not marketing. I mean, I think this film's going to be friggin' awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it from what I've seen so far, it looks great, and I can't wait. And he seems like he's having a blast with it.
Just for that reason alone, I want to see, because he just seems like he's having a really good time, and I like that.
And talk about nailing the costume right down to his little face on the belt buckle.
Yeah, if that costume looks awesome. That cover, was that also an Entertainment Weekly cover?
Yeah.
Yeah, where he says he's not the sexiest man alive, whatever it was. There's a picture of just the cover with no text, a textless cover, or textless picture. And I'm looking at that costume, and I'm thinking, that's got to be hot in there.
Yeah.
It has got to be a hot mess in there.
That looks like they probably at the end of the shoot have to peel that off. And that mask cannot be, I don't care how breathable that is, that can't be. So, bravo, yeah. Reynolds, bravo.
Maybe that's why he's sick of it. You know? I know what we can talk about. Now, I don't know if you've seen this. I think that you did. I think you mentioned it to me. The rumors about Marvel/Disney and Fox getting along.
It wasn't for me.
You didn't see those couple rumors? Something about some sort of crossover that they're starting to play nice in the sandbox.
Yeah.
There's, just saying, rumors that there's going to be some sort of crossover.
Yes, but not the Fantastic Four or the X-Men.
Oh, that's right, yes. Who cares about the Fantastic Four?
Who cares about the Fantastic Four?
Who?
God, if I find it so... You know, everybody's just like, oh, look, you know, look at them. All they can do is do Denny's. I'm like, yeah, well, it's kind of hard to, you know, license your property when you have one arm tied behind your back.
Denny's.
It's all, you got to take what you can get.
You know, it's kind of silly saying you had a thing burger. It just sounds so wrong.
It's got to be better than the Terminator burger. Dude, I shit you not on this one.
Yeah.
Today...
Yeah.
Around like exactly at 2:45 on my Facebook feed.
Yeah.
A pre-order for Terminator Genesis on home DVD.
Are you serious?
I am not joke. I am dead serious.
Already?
Already. That's how bad that film is done.
What? Have you heard anything about the movie?
You know, it's... Cameron gave it a stamp of approval.
Yeah, do you think that was just,
I don't know. It's... I go to this site where they pretty much, it's called themoviespoiler.com because,
yeah.
I mean, I don't get spoiled like a lot of people like bitch and moan about it, you know, as long as I get to see the events unfold in front of my eyes.
Right, I don't care that much.
Yeah, I you know, the butler did it. Okay, fine, but I like to see how it unfolds within my eyes.
Right.
But, so I read about it. You know, I read the entire plot.
Okay.
Someone walked us through, you know, from point A to point B. Okay. And it didn't sound so bad.
I heard that they really played with the timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost kind of introduced a multiverse to the Terminator universe.
There's that multiverse.
But it explains some things like, you know, why, you know, it's, from what I read, it's just like the Terminators are actually, the flesh isn't fake. It's real. It's like a real flesh that regenerates.
Oh, so that's why he gets old?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like.
A spoiler alert.
Yeah. It's like when Reese first, when is the film? The film took place, what, back in the late 80s, right?
I think the first one's 84.
Yeah, so it's the first part of the film takes place in 84.
Yeah,
and that's, you know, it's a younger looking Schwarzenegger. He gets his arm, the skin removed from his arm, so it's just like, you know, partly all metal.
Right.
Reese and Connor realize they need to go into the future, so they do a time machine jump into today.
Okay.
And that's when Arnold can't go because his metal sense has been exposed, but he says, I also need time to heal.
Okay.
So it seems like the skin, and then they come back and his arm is fine. He's older.
Yeah.
So it looks like he's more of a cyborg than just total metal.
Interesting.
See, I always thought it was just, that part never made sense to me in the beginning. From the first one, it was just like, well, if nothing artificial can go through, how the hell did the Terminator go through? But
right.
It's some type of organic blood and skin and everything else on top of the metal skeleton.
Interesting.
So that, took, yeah, how many years did it take to explain that one to me? You know.
And that trilogy that What's His Face is in, or that one movie, has nothing. Terminator Salvation has nothing to do with it, right?
It's like all different parts. That's why they say it's a multiverse.
Huh, interesting.
It's like everything's a part of it. It's like really weird. Like I said, I just read through it, so I haven't seen it to make a judgment call.
Maybe I'll go see it. I don't know.
Well, you can pre-order it now. Jesus.
So much for that movie.
God, opening weekend was just this past weekend.
You got to know when to hedge your bets.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty much what they did. They were just like, screw it.
You got to know when to
hold up.
Know when to walk away.
I couldn't believe that when I saw it, man. But I'm like, yeah, you're right. It's a smart move.
You know, speaking of walking away, and this is a hell of a transition on my part. what do you think of these creators fighting it out on Twitter?
Oh, my God. Well, first off, it's nice to see anybody can have nerd rage.
Well, yes, I guess so, but why do these guys mix in and up? And what I'm talking about, and this is not the first incident, is Dan Slott mixing up with John Bryan.
Well, it's not only did, the funny thing is, it was a lapse of 2 days. First, he mixes it up with Byrne.
Yeah. I just want to say Brian.
Brian, yeah. And then he mixes it up with Bleeding Cool. On his arguments with Byrne, he sounds intelligent. He's the better man.
Yeah.
With Bleeding Cool, he comes across as the nerd rage. And it's just like, what the fuck?
So, is it Dan Slott, or is it just...
From what other people have told me, Dan...
Byrne kind of picked it with Slott, right?
kind of.
That's where, because that kind of started on Twitter that way. Or I don't know if he was poking at him, or I don't know. I think Byrne was kind of picking at him.
Yeah.
And Dan Slott's mixed it up with Bleeding Cool many times in the past.
Yeah, but it's just, with Byrne was kind of had this whole Holly Owl attitude about, you know, the entire all new type of thing, the reboots and the retcons and everything else.
Yeah.
And he just acted like an asshole. And I'm like, dipshit, you rebooted Superman and pretty much wiped out everything.
Everything.
Everything. And he didn't realize, you know, what Byrne also refused to acknowledge, that it just didn't affect him. It affected, it was the fucking domino effect. This is the Superman in this, you know, now he's never a member of the Justice League under Byrne's rule.
Yeah.
Him and Batman were never friends, so that's a problem.
Well, it was like right after Crisis.
Right. And there was no reason to reboot him. It wasn't like with Wonder Woman where she got wiped out of existence and they had to reboot her. There was no reason.
Was that a DC initiative, or was that?
It was a DC initiative.
It had to have been. Yeah. And maybe they offered it to him.
Well, I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah, the idea at the time was Superman was, basically he was a god.
Yeah, he was uber powerful. Sales sucked.
And they wanted to drop down his power levels. And you're absolutely right, right. They had the domino effect, because it wasn't just Superman that changed. All the characters have changed.
Yeah, and, you know, everybody who's connected to Superman has changed.
Lois was updated. Not that, it makes sense. It was truly a domino effect where all these characters didn't. Was that when Lex had hair?
Yeah. And what? He lost it naturally.
Okay. He had, like, red hair.
Yeah, he had a skull cap. He had the curly look going on.
Yeah.
But as we flash back, you know, you found out, you know, he did have hair. It's just he suffered from male pattern baldness. And it was just, you know, Superman didn't do anything goofy to him to get him pissed off. He just bruised his ego. And you know, the man was just a corporate raider. And don't get me wrong. Man of Steel, one of my favorite, a nice breath of fresh air to Superman.
Yeah.
But for Byrne to go off on Slott making changes, I I'm sorry. Byrne, you're wrong.
I agree with this.
And, you know, if you want to get more technical, I mean, the man can't even get away from, he keeps making homages to the Fantastic Four. You know, there was Danger Incorporated. He did this, another one called Trio. It's kind of like Rock, Paper, Scissors, but still almost Fantastic Four looking characters. It's just like, Byrne got on his fucking high horse, and the asshole needs to be taken down a peg, if you want my opinion.
What is he doing these days? Is he writing still?
I don't know what he's doing, honestly. He's running a board. I don't think he's writing a book, honestly. Every once in a while, they'll call him in for something.
Yeah.
But it's just...
No, it doesn't look like he's doing anything.
No, he really isn't.
I want to go on record here and saying that I did not like Man of Steel at all.
Really?
Not at all. Now, I was... What were we talking? Is that 86 that happened?
Yeah.
All right, so I was 15 at the time. I mean, I grew up with Kurt Swan, Superman.
Right.
Eating the kryptonite that had turned to lead. That, to me, Superman, I did not like it at all, the changes that he made. And even, I don't have all six issues. I know I have the first issue. I might have the issue with Lois on the cover, and I may have the Batman one. But I don't have all six issues, and I've never read all six issues. I didn't like it.
See, I loved it. I thought it was a nice breath of fresh air. I liked the power levels being dropped and stuff. I liked the explanation.
I don't know why I didn't like it. Isn't that funny?
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, I know. And didn't part of his initiative was to get rid of Superboy? Like, there was never a Superboy.
Yeah, which fucked up the Legion of Superheroes.
Right. Which is another reason why I didn't like it.
That part bothered me. And again, this is why I think Byrne, you know, needs to look at his own fucking history. For him to, you know, rampage on about slot making changes affecting things, I'm just like, you wiped out the 31st century, you prick.
Basically. And they haven't been able to recover since.
No.
And I'm not joking here.
Like, no.
That was a good book. I always liked it when it was Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes, and I liked it still a little less when it was just Legion of Superheroes.
I mean, I totally agree with you. When Superboy left, it was still, but, you know, the characters were firmly established that you could get away with that.
Yeah.
But to take Superman, you know, Superboy out of the equation completely, who's the inspiration here?
Yeah.
And many writers have tried, and they just can't seem to get it right.
And not only that, but another character that never really recovered, in my mind, Superboy.
Yep.
How can you have a Superboy character if the guy's never Superboy?
Or Supergirl.
Yeah, exactly.
All of it. All the mythos. I mean, like, I'm not going to say it was, like, 100% perfect. I did like I said, the power level's kind of dropping. I did like, but then again, it's just like, how can it be Superman if his levels are dropped?
It wasn't like he couldn't fly into space, or he could only fly to so far in space.
Yeah, before running out of breath.
Yeah, oh my god, it always drove me nuts.
But there were some points that I did like. I did like, you know, obviously the corporate raider, Lex Luthor, opposed to the mad scientist.
Oh, I like that.
I liked how, you know, Clark was a stud.
Yeah. I like that, too. I don't like...
And I like that his parents were still alive.
Yeah.
He was not part of the DC Orphans Club.
Yeah. That's one of the things that I really do not like about where Superman's at right now. I think he's got to have at least one parent. He needs that.
That was some of the best stuff I really liked about that. It was just like, you know, his parents being alive was great. It grounded him.
Yeah.
It finally defined that it was... You know,
Smallville. She called him Smallville.
Yeah, it finally distinguished the light and the, because up until then it was like the lines were kind of blurred with Superman and Batman.
Yeah,
you know, besides the power thing, they were pretty much almost interchangeable.
Yeah,
and now you have where Clark Kent is the real person, and Superman is who he becomes, whereas Batman is the real person.
Right.
And Bruce Wayne is the person he becomes.
You know, it's funny you said that about who is who, because I've been reading Action Comics, and, you know, Superman now is outed. Everybody knows he's Clark.
Yeah.
And one of the things I said, and honestly, I don't so much like that everybody knows that he's Clark, but I do like how it's reading in action so far. I'm enjoying it. Who is he? Is he now... Is he Clark, or is he Superman? Who is this character now?
Go back and read go back and read Morrison's run.
Who's?
Morrison.
I'm not going back reading that, bro.
But the other Twitter fight he got into was with Bleeding Cool, and, you know, let's face it, they're about as much of a news magazine as the National Enquirer.
They're more like TMZ.
Yeah. But what set off Slott was they, and we talked about this last week, how they got a hold of a comic shop got a, you know, advanced copy of the Marvel solicits.
Yeah, the Marvel covers. The all new, all different.
Yeah, somebody scanned them, sent it to them, so they published it.
Yeah.
And Slott went apeshit about it because he was just like, you know, you shouldn't have released that. I'm like... But it's news.
Okay, wait. Hold on one second. Was this in tandem with the Byrne thing, or was this at a different time?
Different time.
Okay. And number two, with that whole the covers getting released, it was only a day ahead of time.
It was only a day ahead of time.
One day ahead of time.
I mean, a little bit more information was released than they wanted to, and they had to scramble. But it's news. I'm sorry.
And then Slott said that that Bleeding Cool is making it harder on the creators.
Which is bullshit.
Well, even if it is, like you said, it's still news, whether it's comic journalism or it's covering world affairs, it's still news.
It's like comparing it to WikiLeaks. I mean, come on, get over yourself.
But it's only a day, and how much... Okay, so they had a... What did they have to scramble about? I don't get what did they have to scramble about. Over a day ahead. It wasn't like it was a week ahead.
It's just ridiculous.
I don't know. So how did that all end with Slott and Bleeding Cool?
Everybody, most people blindly were siding with Slott.
Did they hug and make up? They go to their separate quarters?
No, they just kind of went to their separate quarters.
It's fucking, I swear to God, Twitter, man. It's bizarre. Why? I don't get it.
You know, it's just, the reason I'm like, fuck Marvel, because, you know, it's, they refuse to say anything about why their books are released, so fuck them. You know, fuck you. You know, somebody caught you on your own bullshit. Deal with it.
I don't know, man. It's kind of weird.
Ridiculous.
But you mentioned not too long ago Grant Morrison.
Oh, boy.
Favorite writers.
Yes.
And he is taking over, which I find really bizarre. He's becoming the editor-in-chief of Heavy Metal.
Yes.
First of all, Heavy Metal. Who knew?
I didn't realize it was still being printed.
Is it being printed, or is it like an online magazine?
No, it's actually still being published.
Is it really? Who's publishing?
I don't know. Whoever owns Heavy Metal. I don't know. I think Heavy Metal owns Heavy Metal.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, what is that all about?
You know, as I've said a couple times, I'm trying to do this editorial on...
You know, I meant to ask you about that last week. I meant to ask you how you're making out with that.
But I'm still sorting through stuff. I'm now on my last thing, which is Super Gods.
Okay, oh, God bless.
Go through that again, but... This is how, I mean, I'll give you the summary right now. Grant Morris on creator-owned stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. A little out there, a lot of deep thinking, but you know what? Good stuff.
Okay.
Grant Morrison on DC, stay the fuck away. I mean, I also read the X-Men run, and it didn't bother me as... There were a couple things that did bother me, but nothing like, you know, his DC runs that just stood out and just screamed at me. But his creator-owned stuff, I did find, you know, the kind of out there a little, but not so bad.
Okay.
So I think he's the right person for Heavy Metal.
What is his... What's he going to do with Heavy Metal? Like, what's his goal? What's his ambition here?
He's committed to an actual year.
Okay.
And he wants to expand the, see how far he can take things. This is why I think Heavy Metal is like the perfect vehicle for him.
Is it going to be like a Vertigo kind of feel?
Heavy Metal has kind of always been that way.
Yeah.
Certain stores. I don't want to say all of them.
It's interesting.
I mean, Kevin Eastman of Turtle fame.
Yeah.
For a while, was the publisher.
Was he really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But you know, that's where Mobius, H.R. Geiger got their start. Bernie Wrightson, Corbin, a lot of people, you know, got their start. Their start at that.
Yeah. I don't have like a problem with it or anything.
I think it's the perfect vehicle for him.
Yeah.
And it keeps him out of fucking DC Comics.
So, well, that's what's important.
But you know, like I said, it's just having, like, you read We Three, right?
Yes. And you know what's funny? I do like We Three a lot, actually.
See, something like that would be perfect for Heavy Metal. Sci-fi, you know, visual sci-fi storytelling.
Yeah,
that's the perfect vehicle for something like that.
On the other hand, I read the issue of Invisibles and I did not like that at all.
I read the omniverse of the Invisibles.
To me, that is like
I read the entire series, man.
And did you like it?
It wasn't bad. It had some ups and downs. I think what bothered me more is when. Artist Phil Jimenez was on it.
Yeah.
Because the gore and violence got kicked up way too much for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Jimenez, but let's face it, he is pretty much a Perez knockoff.
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen his art. Come on.
Yeah.
But he gets too gory, I think. I mean, it was pretty out there. It was different.
Yeah, all right. Maybe it's just me.
But, you know, I'm not saying, you know, but still, like, better than Multiversity.
Oh, God. Or, I wonder how that did sales-wise.
It did very well because people are mindless sheep.
Yeah, I just, okay.
And I just reread, you know, one of the things I read for my article was Batman Rip.
Okay, how was that? I don't think I've ever read that.
Oh, God, I hated it.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. It's Robin calls in the troops because okay. Batman, whatever the frick's going on. But he ends up calling in the Club of Heroes who are all located in, you know, the Batman of the...
Oh, wait, but that's when he dies, right?
Yeah. So Robin calls in the Club of Heroes who are located in Europe, and within, like, an hour, they're in America. I'm like, why the fuck didn't you just call Oracle and get the fucking Birds of Prey to come in?
Yeah.
Or the Outsiders, or any of the Justice League. Why the fuck would he call... This is what I hate about... To Morrison, everything is canon.
Yeah.
Unless he doesn't want it to be.
until he doesn't want it to be.
So all those campy stories that happened back in the Dick Sprang age really happened in Morrison's fucking mind, which doesn't make any goddamn sense.
I don't know. I don't get it, man.
Like I said, stay away from the real superhero work. Leave that to real writers, please. Save your surreal shit for heavy metal.
Amen. Hear, hear.
Good fucking riddance. We got one more time and end off on a really happy note.
Okay. What do you want to wrap this up with?
Oh, my God. I sent you this link.
Yeah.
Arkham Sundam.
Yeah.
Who's best known for all those stupid Marvel zombie covers.
Yep.
Didn't draw one fucking issue. I'm not even going to get into that.
Just did the covers.
Just did the fucking covers. Uh-huh. And that's pretty much all he's really known for. Mm-hmm. Montreal Comic Con happened. The prick took up 4 tables in Artist Alley.
So what is the deal? I mean, did he just... Was he supposed to have 4 tables? Was he supposed to have...
No. No. He wasn't supposed to have 4 tables. He was supposed to have 1 table like everybody else.
Okay, and he just...
He got there and took over the tables.
And then what happened?
Montreal caved in.
Are you serious?
And then sent out a little apology afterwards.
Well, so wait a minute. So if he's only supposed to have 1 table, there's 3 other tables. Were there 3 other artists that were supposed to have those tables?
Yeah, there was, you know, it started with artist-writer Jim Zub.
Okay.
The way it started is Jim, you know, he showed up for his table and goes, this is the first post. He doesn't name names yet. He just shows up early, sets up his gargantuan booth, and takes down the signages for people next to him. No regard for anybody else.
Wow.
What a prick. And it just escalated from there. You know, it was revealed it was Sondheim. You know, Ron Mars jumped in on it.
Wow.
Larson posted a photo where it was revealed. Do you see this huge line?
Yeah.
For him signing things?
Yes, I saw that.
And the back part of the crowd is all photoshopped in.
Oh, my God, for real?
Yeah, Eric Larson pointed out, it goes, so many fans and yet clearly different writing. Something looks very wrong here. So somebody did some research and found that somebody in his camp is claiming, like, oh, I had no knowledge of that. Yeah, never heard that one before. Somebody in his camp photoshopped the rest of the crowd.
Wow.
And then, you know, Mark Waid just jumped on, and he's just, like, pretty much said, he said, I just checked in sometimes at an island all himself at Tampa. My next pre-San Diego Comic-Con, he can't pull shit here.
Yeah.
He'll be watched, trust me. And then he goes, busy contracting every show I'm doing for the rest of the year to warn them if Sondheim pulls this shit there, I'll make it loud and ugly.
Wow.
And so then he also, in this Twitter thing, he threatened, said if he sees Sondheim do that, he'll personally go pull the shit off.
Yeah.
And Wade is kind of a shister himself.
I was just going to say, he's another one that uses the Twitter.
Yeah, but it just got really ugly. Of course, you heard nothing from Sondheim.
Still?
Nothing.
Nothing from his camp? Anything?
Nothing.
Wow.
And just
somebody's waiting for this whole thing to blow over.
And just a wimp-ass apology for Montreal Comic Con.
I wonder what those other people at those other tables ended up doing.
I don't know.
Wow, I'd be pissed.
People were.
He's taking down their signs and shit? Wow.
I don't know if it was him personally or his people, but...
It doesn't matter.
He doesn't matter, yeah.
Wow. That's bad.
All he does is fucking zombie shit.
I like that line. That line is awesome. Some good Photoshop.
God. That had to be the funniest thing, that the somebody Photoshopped it. I just love that Larson pulled, pointed it out, and then, of course, some other sites, started investigating, and they showed it was like an outside line.
Yeah.
Some of those people were standing in an outside line. They, somebody moved them around and stuff. Just screwed up, man.
Yeah. Well, he is popular, so there you go.
The funny thing is, I see him at New York Comic Con. There's never a huge line for him.
Well, maybe you just go at the wrong time.
Yeah.
So what else you got going on? What do you got going on for this week? Anything good?
Rest.
Yep. You know, you're rest now until all the news starts coming in.
No, like I said, I'm not covering the news, so.
Can do any of it, okay?
Yeah, I've been like schmoozing and doing everything through email. I feel like I have freaking carpal tunnel in my wrist right now. I'm not joking. It's just I've done so much work with this. I'm just like, it's glad it's over. I got dicked around by a couple companies, and I'm really bullshit about that.
Yeah.
They're like, well, we'll get back to you, and then they're like, the last minute, they're like, I'm sorry, we don't have any room.
That sucks, man.
Especially, we'll get back to you because we haven't finalized anything, and then all of a sudden, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, then don't, just let me in.
Yeah, that sucks, man.
Don't be a prick about it. But... rest for me this week.
Good for you.
Survival guy is up and out there.
Awesome as always.
Thank you.
You know what? I don't know if you've had it on there before, but that number 5 about saying, excuse me,
mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right about that. Just bump into somebody, hey, excuse me. That's all. How hard is that? It's simple.
People don't do it.
Yeah, I know.
And
common courtesy.
And then the one about the booth babe, especially with everything going on with cosplay for consent and stuff.
Never hate on the booth babe.
No, and same with the cosplay players. And from what I heard, San Diego still hasn't confirmed 100% cosplay for consent.
Really?
They gave a vague statement pretty much like, well, we'll kind of frown down upon it.
No shit!
And the cosplayers are like,
wow.
But at the same time, San Diego Comic-Con is right there to step up and say, we will not allow any selfie sticks.
Yeah, well, that's important, too.
Yeah, great. So, women can be felt up, raped and shit, but that's okay, but can't take a selfie with a stick. Nice to see where your priorities are, guys. What about you? What do you got going on this week?
I'm going to hopefully have a couple toy reviews. I'm really behind on my toy reviews. I took some pictures tonight before we came on. That is about it. You can check me and Brian out both on casterscorner.com, and you can check out our shows on fanboyfactor.com. This is the Fanboy Factor podcast. That's what I was going to say.
And to find out when our new shows are up and up and ready to be listened to, for your lovely little ear holes, check us out we're on Stitcher and we're on iTunes.
Subscribe.
Gotta subscribe to know when we're coming out.
Yep, absolutely.
We are like clockwork.
Yep, and it is summertime. It's hot out there on the beach.
Need something awesome. To take off your mind? Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be there for you.
We will be there for you.
We will put the sunscreen on your body.
I don't know. I'm not going that far, dude. All right, man. I'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir.
Have a good one.
You do.